darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the corner contingent, right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. Doesn't have his chef coat on now, but of his hobbies. Hobby rhymes with Bobby. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac, not the fake, not the watered down, not the J-Mac light. It's the real J-Mac, ladies and gentlemen. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. So much insanity abounds. Oh, my goodness. But thanks be to God that we have the wherewithal to place our faith and our confidence squarely in him without any need whatsoever to allow the things of the day to consume us to such a degree to where we are consumed by them. I just say consume us and then consumed by them. We don't have to allow the things to consume us, but we can place our faith in the transcendent King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. At this very moment, many of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. As the psalmist says, crying out to the Lord, Lord, help us to know the number, to appropriately number our days, that we take full advantage of the time that God has given us. We don't want to be among the ranks of those who have the freedoms that we've enjoyed in our nation up to this point, yet we do not use our freedoms for God-honoring purposes. We allow our freedoms to use us. We don't want to be those kinds of people. Let us make sure that we are taking full advantage of the time that God has planted us in. With all of the shenanigans that are happening, I mean, I got a story today from Washington State. It's absurd. And I was just reflecting on how fast things have moved since Obergefell in 2015. We warned, when I say we, I mean myself in particular, as well as others all around the country. I remember testifying in hearings in the state of Louisiana in particular, concerning the passage of the law that ultimately led to marriage being codified in the state as the exclusive union of one man and one woman. And I simply said, you know, once you abandon God's standard, you open the door for all kinds of things. And now, you know, Planet Fitness, you have dudes shaving in the women's bathrooms. And if you're a woman to complain about it, they're going to kick you out. They're going to kick you out. That's the craziness that we're in. We're going to get into, and we're going to go to the Word of God first on this matter because I want to point out something from the Scripture. Because people often say that we're living in a time where deception is abundant, which is absolutely true. But I want to make sure we give a proper weight to what is actually happening. And, of course, the Word of God is what provides us clarity in that regard. Because the media is frothing and foaming at the mouth. Because former President Trump used the term bloodbath. He stated it in a context where it's obvious what he said. And in fact, I wasn't even going to talk about it because I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was so absurd. I thought in this day and age where we have information literally at our fingertips, surely no one will be deceived by this, right? Well, I am unhappy to report that I was wrong. I came across people that, hey, have you heard him? Sorry, you talking about if you don't get elected, it's going to be violence in the streets. I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. But we're going to get into it. But before we do any of that, let's go to the Word of God, for which I am so grateful that with all of the absurdities and the insanity that is prevalent, the Lord has already told us in his word what was coming, and he's prepared us for it. It is our privilege and our opportunity to heed what God has revealed to us in his word and put it into practice. Put it into practice. It's not sufficient for us to have the word of God. We must put it into practice. We must apply the word of God to our lives before we ever try to provide application for other people. We have to apply it to our lives, our hearts first. Doesn't mean we don't apply it to others. You know, a lot of times people try to use Jesus' words with the speck in the log completely wrong. When Jesus said that you tried to remove the speck from your brother's eye, and you have a log in your eye, you have a plank in your eye, notice he never said let your brother roll out with the speck. He just said get the log out of your eye first. The judgment we apply is a righteous judgment that is first applied to ourselves. And because we love our neighbor, we apply it to our neighbors too. To the word of God we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to point this out to you. Verses 1 through 4. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's not on the rundown? No. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. That's right. Pamela, we removed the log out of our eyes so we can see clearly. The log removal is necessary to see clearly because it is loving to remove the speck from your neighbor's eye. This is, as we've talked at length about the Apostle Paul near the end of his life, being incarcerated, facing execution. He warns of what was to come in the last days, and he says this. These are things that we can observe that indicate, yeah, you very well may be in the last days. Paul writes this, verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Not may come. Difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Now that's one component, revilers. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, or some translations render that slanderers, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here I'm reading from the NESB 95. It says, difficult times. Some translations say, perilous times. The indication of the brutality is something that will characterize other aspects of these negative characteristics that will be prevalent in these last days, all right? What I want to highlight for your attention is I want you to note that Paul employs a term that's translated as revilers. These are people who attack, who lie, who basically use their words to attack the followers of the way of Christ, all right? But that is a different category from the malicious gossips or the slanderers. The Greek word, it's one word that is translated here as malicious gossips. It's not only gossips, but there's malice involved. There are people that will use their words to lie about you and to lie about others intentionally to harm them in different ways of varying types and varying intensities. The Greek word there, and this is going to sound familiar to many of you once I say what it is. The Greek word there is diabolos. That's translated as malicious gossips. So it's not just gossiping, it's malice involved. There is a specific intent to provoke injury, to cause harm, whether that be reputational injury, whether that be, you know, financial injury, whether that be a precursor for even physical injury. The purpose of this type of lying is to injure. Now, some of you have recognized this already. The Greek word diabolos is where we get our English word diabolical from. Diabolical. Guess what the Spanish word for devil is? Diablo. I'm sharing this because I want you to see and the weight that the Lord was putting on this in Scripture. Because when we talk about, oh, yeah, they're going to be slander, we kind of think of it in a legal sense, you know, the publication of a false statement. You know, we don't necessarily think about it as a malicious lie, a malicious deception, the using of false information intentionally, a false narrative, a false case, a false assertion, the lie intentionally to provoke harm. Everybody with me? This is what the Lord was warning what was to come. The manipulation of terms. I've talked at length about, you know, the Gramscian stratagem to use language, to use a lexicon, an ever-changing lexicon for the purposes of societal upheaval. All right? It is not, and I was in a meeting, and somebody said, oh, yeah, AB, you're always focused on semantics. I'm like, is it merely semantics? Is it merely semantics? By God's grace, wouldn't it have been amazing if there were Christians standing on the wall when the mental health profession, both psychiatrics and psychology, was being inundated with an effort to sever sex from gender? Wouldn't it have been an amazing thing for members of the body of Christ to say, wait a minute, words mean something. What is the scientific data that you are basing your efforts to now create a bifurcation in our society that did not exist heretofore? The changing of the terminology was merely the product of a political lobbying campaign. Certain chairs were funded in a particular way. You give money to this organization if they change this. Now look at where we are now. Well, you got grown men shaving in women's bathrooms. You got an 82-year-old woman who swam for 40 years at the YMCA who had the audacity to say, hey, this dude shouldn't be looking at this 4-year-old and 6-year-old little girl taking off their bathing suits. Then the grandmother gets kicked out. You see what I'm saying? So these changes have been employed not for just the casual purposes. We've talked on this program about the book After the Ball, how a psychologist and a psychiatrist, both of whom were homosexual, created the playbook that was employed, foisted upon American society, and this was the subtitle to their book, After the Ball, How America Will Embrace Homosexuality. And they started doing it. And we have people just living and going along and not recognizing, man, all of a sudden we're starting to have, you know, Will and Grace. And, you know, the homosexual character in Will and Grace is the most winsome, the most witty, the funniest character in all of these areas. The scripture points out malicious lying, diabolos. The purpose of the lie is to harm, is to injure, is to wound, is to cause pain, is to cause strife, is to cause difficulty. That's the objective. Now, the people who are doing it will not tell you that, but my point in raising this is that the Lord has already shown us. In the last days, there will be men who will be irreconcilable. Efforts to reconcile are employed, but the agents of evil are not interested. Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, the Greek word diabolos. The lies are promulgated to inflict injury. This is why we as followers of the way of Christ must, again, the Lord has told us in his word, cast down vain imaginations. The Greek word there is logismos, imaginations, speculations, and any high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. This is why these ideas are not just passive ideas in the marketplace of ideas. They're malicious gossips, diabolos. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. The heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heart can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious babies. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. I'm sharing that with the urgency that I am because what inevitably occurs is that many professing believers, and some, just to be frank about it, are consumed with the love for the world, and they kind of speak condescendingly towards Christians who are endeavoring to be faithful with all that they have, not realizing that they're ingesting certain iterations of worldliness and accepting it without any rejection at all. When our portion as believers, the Lord knows he's placed us in this world. We've talked at length about in John 17, the Lord says, I'm not asking for them to be removed, but they be kept in the world. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, believers, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm telling you, I've had conversations with professing believers who would tell me that I was foolish because I'm endeavoring to raise my children to be chaste until marriage. They'll tell me things like, oh, that can't happen. You're not going to let your children have fun when they're young? What's fun? Sexual morality is supposed to be fun? That's supposed to be fun? Now, I know I'm hitting harder than what they might want me to respond with. But what has occurred, even though the Lord has said in his word, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, what's happening is that we're accommodating leaven and we're re-describing it. We're calling leaven things like pronoun hospitality. You know, we're calling leaven, Abe, everything doesn't have to be spiritual. What are you talking about? And so I'm just, listen, the Bible teaches us that Satan presents himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come straight out with the arsenic. The arsenic is going to be dipped in milk chocolate. And when he comes, he's not going to say, hey, want some of this arsenic? Hey, don't you want one little piece of chocolate? You know, Bobby, a little piece of chocolate ain't going to hurt anybody. The benefit for the believer, and I'm saying this for the believer, I don't expect the world to have spiritual discernment. The Bible requires, God requires his body to. We must have spiritual discernment. Diabolos is the term, because when we think malicious gossips, we think about, oh, gossip. Like when I was young, I knew some elders who used to watch a show called 227. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. 227, to where a significant part of the show was a little bit of gossip. And the gossip is like, you know, kind of lighthearted banter and all of this. But when the scripture says malicious gossip, that is not what it's talking about. When the scripture says malicious gossips, we can't eisegete into the text what we think what gossip means. No, what does the text say? Diabolos. These are lies that are intentionally promulgated to injure, to wound, to cause harm. So no, I'm not listening to anybody who say they'll believe what they try to tell me. I can't raise my children to be chaste. The Lord commands that of me in scripture. And I know my children won't be perfect. By God's grace, however, my responsibility is to do everything I can to serve them to become followers of the way of Christ themselves. That begins with what I model before them. Not what I teach, my example. And it also includes what I teach. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. The passage in the Greek means not just an audible encounter. It means by repetitious and continuous presentation over time. That's my responsibility. So excuse me if I don't give ear to what you're suggesting. And excuse me because the believer must have the discernment to recognize when Diabolos is afoot. There are people that are launching pernicious lies and they know they're lying. They know they're lying and they're intentionally doing so to wound, to injure, to harm, to inflict pain. So we need to be aware of it. All right. Couple of events coming up. I've been telling you guys about these. In June 6th through the 8th, I'll be joining the 41st Annual Virginia Homeschool Convention, hosted in Richmond, Virginia, at the Greater Richmond Convention Center. It's going to be an amazing time there. You can follow all of these events by going to AFR.net. Click on the More Info tab, which is all the way to the right. You'll see a drop-down dialog box that says Speakers. Hit that, and then you'll see all of these events. You do have to register if you're in the area, willing to come to the area, but I would encourage you to do so quickly before they sell out. The same is true for the following week at the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Convention in Denver, Colorado. All right. You can go to their website to register. Then in July 18th through the 20th, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to participate in this conference, the Culture Proof Conference. It will be hosted by Will and Mickey Addison. They have founded the Culture Proof Ministry, where the theme is resist. We're going to be talking about some of these same ideas with a wonderful host of people that I am eager to be further fortified in my commitment to serve the Lord and to anchor my family even the more and to help continue to serve our local church to be ready for the times that we're planted in. If you are in the area, please come. If you are able to come, please come. Bartlett, Tennessee is where this will take place. The host church is Faith Baptist Church. You go to cultureproof.net to register. That is cultureproof.net to register. All right. Foolishness du jour. I have to talk about this because this happened just as we were getting off the air yesterday. Yesterday, I spent a significant amount of time discussing how the United States Supreme Court issued an order that allowed Texas's Senate Bill 4 to go to take effect while the case on the merits was pending on appeal before the U.S. Fifth Circuit. Well, as I was getting off the air, as soon as I got off the air, I got a notification that the Fifth Circuit had issued a new ruling, once again prohibiting the state of Texas from implementing Senate Bill 4. And when I saw that, it reminded me of the debate in the Federalist Papers as to how and why the judiciary was never supposed to be the ultimate arbiter of domestic policy. I've explained before, I've taught students in the civics class. Children, unfortunately, are taught, again, you talk about malicious gossips, the Diabolos. People are taught that the United States of America has co-equal branches of government. That is simply not true. There has been an intentional obfuscation of the difference between a system federally of checks and balances versus co-equal branches of government. Let's just walk through this briefly. When co-equal is stated to you, what do you think? You think if the branches are co-equal, each of them have the same amount of power, right? Isn't that what you would think? If I tell you have co-equal branches, each of them have the same amount of power. That is not what the founding fathers created. We have a system of checks and balances to where one branch serves as a check and a balance on another branch. But the branches were never promulgated to be co-equal. One of the things that transpires when malicious lies are communicated, and those lies are allowed to persist generationally without refutation, the lie is then ultimately taken as fact. Many of you listening to me, you were taught that our government consists of, at the federal level, of co-equal branches of government. All you need to do to see whether or not that is true is read the Constitution for yourself, which again is something that used to be normative in the United States of America. Constitutional literacy was not the exclusive province of lawyers. That's not what it was supposed to be. Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution is the longest of the three articles that address the federal government. Article 1 details the breadth, scope, and function of Congress. Congress was always intended to be the most impactful on domestic life. Article 2 is the article that explains the function of the executive branch. Not as long as Article 1, certainly longer than Article 3. Article 3 is the article that details the function of the judiciary. Checks and balances, not co-equal. Nevertheless, the persistence of the lie has tenderized and pacified a society to the degree to where, in this case, even the Texas governor has taken the posture, well, we'll wait and see whatever the courts say before I'll do what the people of Texas elected me to do. Now, I'm not advocating for lawlessness. Don't hear me well. I'm not advocating for lawlessness. But what I am advocating for is a necessary recalibration of our own understanding of our nation. The judiciary was never supposed to be the most impactful on domestic life. But this case is one that is giving a great example as to how that has become our reality. The judiciary, as articulated in the Federalist Papers, is the third branch of government having neither force nor will, is the least threatening to individual liberty because it does not have the capacity to enforce its own rulings. Yet our society has been tenderized by a lie and pacified to say, hey, well, whatever the courts say. Which is why we have a Congress that literally does almost nothing. Bills that they pass, they leave room for the administrative state to fill out the details. And the administrative state is a feature of the executive branch. The executive branch is not supposed to carry out domestic policy. But this is where we are. This is where we are. So, on the other side, oral arguments on the merits. So I shared yesterday about April 5th being the start date for the argument on the administrative stay versus a stay pending appeal. The stay pending appeal oral arguments began today. So in short order, and the Supreme Court has required this already, in short order, the Fifth Circuit is going to rule. So there's going to be a conclusion of this from the courts one way or another. But it was something that just highlights the quandary that we are in as a nation. All right, moving on. Talking about lies intentionally promulgated. That you know it's a lie. They know, the liars know it's a lie, but they use a lie anyway because they know the lie will be effective in accomplishing their purposes, what I'm talking about now. And I had ignored this story. I did not plan to bring this to your attention because I thought it was just so absurd. I didn't think anyone would be deceived by this, but I was wrong. What am I talking about? Former President Trump's comments at a March 16th rally in Dayton, Ohio, to where he used the word bloodbath. But he used the expression in a particular context. Here's the context. Not very long. Clip number one. Go.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think, they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
That'll be the least of it. The next statement he says after that was, they're not going to sell those cars here. Listening to that, can anybody conclude, oh, President Trump is saying there's going to be violence in the street if he's not elected? It's patently obvious. It's blatantly obvious he's talking about economic bloodbath. He spent the whole time talking about Mexico taking over 34% of the American automaking industry and highlighting how China, being cognizant of the free trade agreements that we have with Mexico, how China's made the decision to build massive amounts of car manufacturing plants in Mexico so that Chinese-made cars, though built in Mexico, can be sold in America with zero tariffs. He's saying that if he's elected, he's going to stop Mexico and then China via Mexico from taking over the American automaking industry. If he is not elected, he's saying, then it will be an economic bloodbath for the country. The people who are playing these clips over and over and over, who are just taking a portion out, that say, if I'm not elected, it'll be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. They are intentionally lying because they know that their lies are effective. And I thought that there's no way people are going to actually believe that he was intending that as a threat of physical violence. Oh, boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. People that I previously thought had a little bit more sense, they've proven me wrong on that point.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. So when you see that type of intentional deception afoot, why do they do it? One, because they're evil. Now, I know some people are saying, oh, Abe, you're going too far. Why would you intentionally cut off the clip to say, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath? And say, oh, he's threatening violence. And you completely exclude the entire financial discussion he was having before. You do it intentionally because your motivation is evil. I'm sharing this with you specifically in light of the scripture you're talking about, the last days, to give you, and some of you are like, Abe, I didn't really need you to give me any more clarity on that point. I know that's where we are. But for those who may still be kind of on the fence, guys, we are dealing with wickedness in high places, guys. Like, this is not merely, again, like a divergent opinions are on the periphery of policy. You have people that are intentionally telling bold-faced lies that they know to be lies, but doing so because their motivations are evil and because they have found their lies to be effective. How many people have you encountered in the last few days saying, oh, he's at it again. He's threatening a bloodbath if he's not elected. And it's a great sorrow that I had because I encounter people saying that. Because to be that deluded and that deceived. And listen, former President Trump has said plenty of things to get himself in trouble. Plenty of things. He said things. I'm like, oh my goodness. But this is not one of them. And this is not even like my 6-year-old would have known what he was talking about. You know, this is not like, oh, this is some cryptic expression that it needs to be interpreted 15 times to maybe we can divine out a meaning. Is but I want you to see the level of deception that's afoot. That it is intentional. It is intentional. Because we are in wicked times. Further on that point, I told you a little bit about this at the beginning of the program. An 82-year-old woman named Julie Jamon in Port Townsend, Washington. She used her local YMCA for more than 40 years. She's an avid swimmer. She used swimming as her primary exercise means. Well, one day, she's after her daily swim. She went to the shower to shower after her swim, as she normally did. And while she's in the shower, she hears a little bass in the voice. She hears what sounds to her like it's a man's voice. She moves her curtain to peek out of the shower. What does she see? A grown man standing in front of a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old little girl, two little girls, watching the little girls remove their swimsuits so they can use the restroom. She confronts the man, and immediately a YMCA staffer tells her she is discriminating against the man and calls the cops on 82-year-old Julie Jamon. Listen to this clip of her speaking about this incident. It's clip number 2. Go.
As I said, I'm a regular swimmer, and I finished my swim and went to take a shower, and I heard a man's voice. And I looked to one side where there are two toilet stalls with doors on them. A man was standing there in a woman's bathing suit, and he was watching little girls take their suits down in order to use the toilet. And I said to him, "Do you have a penis?" And he said, "That's none of your business." And I said, "You need to get out of here right now." A Y staffer came from maybe the staff room around in her red t-shirt, and I said, "Get that man out of here." And she said, without skipping a beat, "That's discrimination. You're out of the pool forever, and I've called the cops."
Julie Jamon has been banned from this YMCA for over a year now. That happened in July of 2022. Why am I bringing this to your attention now? Well, because Mama Jamon, that's what I'm going to call her, has legal counsel now. And it's taken lawyers to send what many lawyers know to be a nice little demand letter. Demanding immediate reinstatement of Ms. Jamon to the local YMCA she's used, as well as monetary compensation for them violating her First Amendment rights. She's represented by Harmeet Dillon. They've sent this letter, and they have granted the YMCA until March 27th at 5 p.m. to respond to their demand letter. I remember reading somewhere, not somewhere in the Bible, that good would be called evil and evil would be called good. Folks, we are here. This incident follows, and you might have seen this in the media lately, Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness had an incident back in 2015 in Michigan to where one of its members, Yvette Cormier, expressed her concern because she came out of the shower out of the locker room. Sorry, the locker room. She found a biological man was in her shower, in her bathroom. Similar to what happened to Ms. Jamon, Ms. Yvette Cormier was kicked out of the Planet Fitness and stripped of her membership. Well, the rest of that story resulted in a legal case that Yvette Cormier won after the Michigan Appellate Court found that Planet Fitness had violated the Consumer Protection Act because Planet Fitness's membership guaranteed to its members, especially its women, a private locker room, a private bathroom, and a private changing area, which they violated the terms of their own contract when they kicked Ms. Cormier out of their gym. But Planet Fitness is back in the news because just a couple weeks ago, a woman named Patricia Silva encountered a man in the women's locker room, shaving. You heard me right. Shaving. A man is in the women's locker room shaving. Patricia Silva says, sir, you're not supposed to be in here. Planet Fitness kicked her out of the gym again. And so these things are happening over and over and over again because this is another iteration of the lie attempting to be established as truth. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. And my advocacy for you and for me to consistently tell the truth, to refuse to allow the lie to carry the day. Because do you guys remember why the YMCA's history? Do you remember that the YMCA was founded as a Christian organization? That its commitment was to evangelistic and disciple-making functions? But over time, little by little, you know, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Over time, little by little, if you accommodate the lie, make nice with the lie, make room. Oh, yeah. Lies, come on over, sit here, sit right over here. The lie is not content with just being a part of the story. The lie wants to be the story. Same thing I've said this before with Salvation Army. They kept the name. The name is literally Salvation Army. When's the last time you saw somebody from the Salvation Army share the gospel somewhere? The lie has been so pernicious with the Salvation Army, most people in our society have no idea that the Salvation Army historically had a Christian founding with a commitment to expand God's kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel. But here we are. I'll give you one more, and then we'll have to wrap up today. That clock, I'm looking at it. It's disrespectful. The Biden administration, and in particular his Treasury Department, got busted because they shared a list that was published by an organization called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. What this organization did, basically, was just take the SPLC's hate list. Now, that's right, Kerry posted it. Young Christian Men's Association. That's what the YMCA's acronym is for. Young Christian Men's Association. That's absolutely right, Kerry. Thank you for that. Getting back to this story. The Biden administration got caught sending lists to banks saying, hey, y'all need to watch out for these organizations. You know, these groups watching, they might have, like, you know, Christian and other words that they use, you need to be careful not to do business with them. Alliance Defending Freedom's Jeremy Tedesco testified about this issue before Congress recently. It's clip number 3. Go.
Yesterday, this subcommittee released documents that show that the U.S. Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network colluded with big banks to monitor their customers to identify domestic threats. and shared a list of so-called hate groups published by the Hyperpartisan Institute for Strategic Dialogue to help them do so. Echoing the discredited and morally bankrupt Southern Poverty Law Center, the ISD list includes ADF, where I work, as well as other mainstream religious and conservative organizations like Family Research Council, Liberty Council, Pacific Justice Institute, and Ruth Institute. Simply put, the federal government appears to have swept up Christian and conservative organizations in its domestic terrorist dragnet. This Orwellian surveillance of American citizens has no place in a free society. Neither does the federal government's weaponization of the financial industry against peaceable religious and conservative groups. Our story is just one of many, demonstrating the increased rise and threat of viewpoint-based debanking.
Viewpoint-based debanking. Yes, AFA was on that list. Now, certainly our own government wouldn't circulate a list of, you know, watch out for these groups to banks specifically with the kind of warning that maybe you don't want to do business with those banks in an effort to try to, you know, cut these organizations off at the purse strings, right? That's exactly what they were doing. Giving a little list and a wink and a nod to, hey, surely you don't want your good friends here at the United States Treasury to be upset by your decision to continue to do business with these organizations, would ya? Would ya? Thankfully, they got caught. So with this exposure, what's going to happen? They're not going to adjust course in total. They're just going to retreat a little bit to try to get back in the shadows a little more and then come back again. Why? Because of the lie that if you believe in the Bible and you have the audacity to say something about it publicly and to encourage other people to adhere to the holy word of God, you are a threat to this administration. Well, what is that saying about this administration then? See, this is why we must remain vigilant. This is why we must contend on all fronts and refuse to allow the lie to endure. That begins in our personal lives. I've explained this before. In order to be people of the truth, advocates of the truth, who love the truth, who buy the truth and will not sell it, is that we have to be truthful personally. Refuse to tell lies personally. Refuse to live lies personally. And beyond ourselves, advocate for truth in our spheres of influence. And as God gives us continued access for the time he gives us access, that we contend for the truth at the highest perch that we can, because this is not merely a natural debate that is happening. This is full on, straight up, being undergirded by spiritual realities. And like I said a couple days ago, whether you want to be in a fight or not, if the enemy is throwing blows your way, you are in a fight. And so our opportunity is not merely to try to fight with fisticuffs and muscles, but to stand on the unflinching, unchanging, ever-abounding word of God. And by his grace, he will strengthen us for the battle that he's placed us here to contend.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.